It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
That was Devontae Adams, now the roommate, apparently, of Aaron Rodgers.
Bunk mates. They got bunk beds.
Yeah, he needed somebody to sublet a room in his apartment. Share the bunk beds.
Not bad.
Yeah, somebody's got to buy the toilet paper in that place.
Love it.
On the McAfee show yesterday.
We'll
get back.
This is the one rule of the house. Don't ever, ever, ever touch my drum set.
Should be good as long as he doesn't touch the drum set.
No, I mean, look, it's always good with Aaron Rodgers before you actually get out there on the field. Let's see how it actually goes.
Although he's had a lot of success with him.
They have.
Devontae Adams is his guy.
Fair.
So if this doesn't work, nothing will work.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
They're taking all every swing they can take in New York right now.
Yeah,
they fired the coach. You didn't like the coach. Now, the one pushback I guess you have on that is they did reassign Nathaniel Hackett. Nathaniel Hackett's not calling plays. That is Rodgers' guy.
That is his guy.
So I guess it's not everything Rodgers, but they had to be like, hey, look, we're going to get rid of him because we have to, but we will give you Devontae Adams.
Fair enough. So we'll get back into the wide receiver developments in the division.
Yes.
Not just Devontae Adams, Amari Cooper as well. I don't know if he's living at Josh Allen's house or not. We can maybe find out on today's McAfee show.
I don't hate that.
But I did want to just update the Christian Barmore story because it's been developing throughout the course of the day. And you can jump in on our Brady discussion. Would you want him to be involved in New England? Does it bother you that he's not involved in New England? Isn't involved with the Raiders, which must be odd for Raiders fans too. Like, they can't like Tom Brady. My buddy who's a Raiders fan, he hates Tom Brady. He hates this move. And so they can't feel great about that either.
Yeah, the Tuck Rule guy coming in to own the team.
Right, just to make some money off the team. Like, that's gross. But Christian Barmore tweeted out this morning. Let me get the exact timestamp for you. It was at 1:22 a.m. I just experienced for the first time five Providence cops being very unprofessional. Racism at his finest is what he said. So for the first time he experienced cops that way, the first time in Providence, I guess that can be read a couple of different ways.
Yeah.
So Gerard Mayo was asked about it today. He said he had a conversation with Barmore. Boston 25, Fox 25 here in Boston, has the headline, Patriots star Christian Barmore accuses Providence police of racism after being pulled over. They have some details here. New England Patriots defensive lineman Christian Barmore took to social media, as we just told you. According to Providence police, there were issues with the Patriots star's vehicle registration and there were drugs in the SUV. According to police paperwork obtained by Boston 25, two Providence police officers were on patrol and it was right around 1 a.m. when they, so he was tweeting very shortly after.
I say 1:22 was his tweet.
And this was right around 1 a.m. They saw a gray Jeep Grand Cherokee with tinted windows and a plate cover over a temporary license plate. The officers were unable to read the car's info, but noticed a temporary registration from an unknown state.
Plate cover?
How many unknown states are there?
I know of 50 states.
I feel like I know all of them.
50 states. Yeah, I couldn't tell you them all right now, like right off the top of my head. I might miss a couple.
But like
50 states, 50 different license plates, I believe.
That's what I thought.
Does D.C. have a license plate? There's probably a D.C. plate.
Yeah, I think there's 51.
Not states.
Guam. Well, that's true.
Not
territories.
States.
Guam, Puerto Rico. They all have their own license plates, yeah.
I wonder, is it maybe like an obscure one? Maybe like a Delaware?
Could be.
That's a strange one.
Yeah, I don't know all the license plates. I'm with you on that. After officers activated their overhead lights and signaled for the vehicle stop, the vehicle began to a slow stop, creeping along on Elmwood Avenue and Bridgham Street in Providence.
Do you have a plate cover for your car?
I don't.
Oh.
Before coming to a complete stop near Broad Street. Providence police say a slow roll is usually done to hide contraband or weapons before officers come to the window.
Okay. Huh. A slow roll.
The officers approach.
So that's like, hey, I know that you're pulling me over, but I'm not really ready for that.
Time to
let me swallow all the mushrooms like in Super Troopers.
Now we're taking Providence police at their word, but they approached Barmore, who asked for the reason that they stopped him.
Yep.
They said he had an attitude and behaved aggressively when officers asked for his paperwork.
Oh, boy.
Barmore was informed that the Jeep would be towed.
Oh.
Police say he was allegedly seen attempting to conceal an item under his seat. Okay. They removed an ash cup with a blunt from under Barmore's driver's seat and several tubes filled with marijuana. So here's what I would say. Who's right, who's wrong in this situation?
Yeah. He can't stay off the weed.
Like, that really
is
does.
Is that good? This is a serious question. Is that good for or bad for blood clots? Because wasn't that, he's out for the season with that. Like, he has a serious thing going on. That might, it might actually be a good thing.
I don't know that he's out for the season, and I don't know the medicinal benefits of it.
Good point.
But here's what I'm going to tell you. The drugs in the car, whatever, not the biggest deal in the world to me. Shouldn't be doing it, but doesn't bother me the most. When it comes to the police and who's right, who's wrong, was Barmore acting erratically? Could he have behaved better? Maybe. Were the police being racist? Maybe. Like, I'm not even telling you I know. Here's what I know.
All right.
It's another headache for the Patriots.
All I can think of is Gerard Mayo coming in bright and early. Maybe not as early as other coaches, but early enough.
Oh, they don't practice till like 5 p.m.
So coming in there, grabs his coffee, sitting down at his desk, and somebody walking in and be like, coach, quick update here. And he's like, what now?
Oh,
like,
God. What
injury? Like, no. We had a little running with one of your players with the police department. He's like, okay.
Oh, great.
Add it to the list. So first year head coach, you know, life comes at you pretty fast, and they're just throwing a bunch of stuff. So he's still week to week, I'm sure, getting some sort of update on Jabril Peppers' situation, which does seem far, far, far worse than what we're dealing with here with Barmore. But it is, to your point, just another thing to sort of deal with the New England Patriots and where this goes from here.
So, like, he's got his license plate covered up. That seems sketchy. He's got the slow stop. That seems sketchy. But it's also taking police at their word, which, you know, can be a dangerous thing.
Right.
Not to say they're all lying, but, like, you know, I don't know that we could take it 100% at its word. So who's right, who's wrong? I have no idea. I'm not smart enough to know that. I do know it's another headache for the Patriots, another side story for the Patriots, and there just seems to be a lot of those this year. In year one for Gerard Mayo. Now, is that a correlation? Is it unlucky? Bill certainly had his history of incidents here in New England.
Oh, yeah.
They're covering it pretty thoroughly right now, even though it's been
kind of. You talk about the Aaron Hernandez
it's
show?
It's covered thoroughly on FX.
It's like a parody.
It's obviously been enhanced. I don't know if romanticized is the right word. But it's being covered. You see the highlights every week, the clips every week. With Aaron Hernandez. So it doesn't mean the Bill was perfect with this by any means.
But this started right off the rip with Javon Baker at Logan. Remember yelling at the security guards there or the police there?
Jabril Peppers, it's horrific details if those are true.
Does Barmore tweet what he tweets if Belichick's the head coach?
Maybe.
But is it since deleted? He's left it up.
Yeah, right. Would it be deleted? Also, maybe.
Yeah.
But would he tweet? I feel like guys, I want to say Pat Chung did after his incident.
Oh, did he?
And so,
yeah, maybe.
I think Chung was out of the league by then.
Was he already out of the league?
It was in 2020. His last year was 19.
Oh, okay, so maybe I'm wrong about that.
All right.
Maybe he did tweet, but he wasn't a member of the Patriots. Okay, fair enough.
I'm not still made him take it down.
By no means am I saying that everything's all buttoned up with Bill Belichick. Like everything, like
no, definitely not.
Like they had plenty of issues, like every NFL team does. But I just wonder. Like, I think you have less players probably going Instagram Live, and you would have less players that, like, in the immediate aftermath of a run-in with the police, you know, taking it to Twitter.
Yeah, it's just another headache for Gerard Mayo in year one. Not saying that it wouldn't happen under Bill, because it did. Aaron Hernandez, prominent, extreme example. Twitch chat is pointing out Jack Jones, so plenty of incidents on Bill's
Chandler
watch.
Jones.
Yeah.
We got a lot of texters saying that that's not the best area
in Providence.
I don't
pretend to know it well. My sister lives in Providence. I don't pretend to know the city streets and everything.
Well, you had the streets, and we had like multiple texts being like, that's not the greatest place in the world.
All right, but that's not a crime to be in a bad neighborhood.
No, it's not.
So look, it's not even like a he said, she said, who I believe necessarily. It's just, it's another on the list for Gerard Mayo of crap he has to deal with.
Yep.
And it doesn't seem like it's coming at a great time for a bad team.
No.
Let's go to Johnny in Brooklyn, waiting patiently. Go ahead, Johnny.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I was thinking back to Gerard Mayo's initial press conference when he kept referring to Kraft as Thundercat.
Yep.
And I was just thinking, like, if he is still calling him that in the Patriots facility, like, how could anyone around him take him seriously at all? It's just the most embarrassing thing ever. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I do think that was insane at the time. We talked about it for like 2 weeks afterwards. I've not heard him call him Thunder since.
Not publicly, because he knows how poorly that went over.
Yeah, that's true.
You're like, that was embarrassing.
Yeah.
One thing I learned from coaches and from Thunder, I appreciate, you know, Thunder and the organization.
Does that
young Thundercat, you know, has a young heart. Thundercat.
Not a yes, sir. Not a follower. Sit the box for the moan. Have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the
Thunder.
Sorry, that goes on for much longer. But, yeah. We had a lot of those that night. So, yes, I found it very strange at the time. Publicly, we have not heard that.
Do you think that hurts him, though, like in any way in the building?
I don't think it helps. So if it had to be one or the other, yeah, I bet it
hurts. Don't you think it hurts? Okay, fine.
I think it's a significant – if you're on the staff.
Don't you think it hurts him? Well, good point.
If you're on the staff and you hear him call Kraft Thunder, aren't you, like, rolling your eyes big time?
Yeah, grow up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it probably hurts him more outside the building than in it, but it certainly doesn't help. I guess that's the right way to say it. How does that help?
What are you doing? Yeah. It's just, that's how I look at it.
Cool.
Yeah.
You suck up to your boss? Like, cool.
Yeah. Awesome.
That's great, good leadership. 617-779-7937. Another headache for the Patriots with Christian Barmore. Another issue to deal with for Jerod Mayo in year one. When it comes to the wide receivers in the division, Keefe, it's an interesting juxtaposition with how the other three teams are building up their wide receiver room and how the Patriots are.
It really has. And I know you're like, well, none of these teams have won Super Bowls. It's like, all right, that's true, but the Bills are a perennial playoff team.
I'm sorry, timeout. Did he say Thunder on the Greg Hill show 2 weeks ago?
Oh, I did not hear that.
I feel like I listened to all of those. I must have missed that. Okay. My mistake.
Mayo said Thunder last week.
So Thunder's back in. Okay.
Oh, my God. Never mind.
My mistake. But sorry, the receiver rooms.
Yeah, so, you know, none of these teams have won the Super Bowl, but the Dolphins are really bad right now, but they went to the playoffs the last 2 years. The Jets, we'll see if this can turn them around. And then the Bills are a perennial playoff team. And so the Bills, they gave up on Steph Diggs. They thought they would be better off moving on, which I thought was a mistake. And I think after 6 weeks, they realize that, yeah, we're still good, but we need to do something. So they trade for Amari Cooper. They also, in the draft, at the top of the second round, took Keon Coleman. So they knew it was an important spot. The Dolphins, we know, used a first-round pick on Waddle, traded a first-round pick to get Hill. And then the Jets used a first-round pick on Garrett Wilson and just traded a 3 that could be a 2 for Adams. Meanwhile, the Patriots' top two receivers, based on snap count on Sunday and probably again this Sunday, Pop Douglas and Kayshon Boutte were both sixth-round picks.
And Kendrick Bourne and Polk were neck and neck for mixing in. So like,
and so Polk, they at least took a second. So to be fair, for giving the Bills credit for taking a second-rounder in Keon Coleman, the Patriots did use a second on Polk.
But Polk is your second-round pick. Correct. Yeah. That's all I was trying to highlight is he's dropping down in your pecking order, although they did invest the draft capital. True.
Yeah. And so it's a super important position. And I would just say if a team like the Bills have a guy like Josh Allen, and even they realize, all right, he might be able to take the current receiver room and make them a little bit better. We owe it to him to give him somebody that's even better. And so they go out and trade for a 30-year-old Amari Cooper, who I think is very good. Like, you and I were like, you don't want to call him great, but he's that next level down. Like, he's a very good wide receiver, very productive receiver.
I would love him as my second receiver.
Yeah.
He would be a significant upgrade here as a number one, but do I feel like that's what I want here? No, but for Buffalo, it makes a lot of sense.
I was surprised that the Bills weren't
in. For a contending team, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, the Bills weren't in on DeAndre Hopkins a couple years ago, and I was like, that's strange. They weren't in on any of these other guys. They were never rumored in like the Brandon Ayuk stuff or any of that. And you're like,
well, a little bit Adams, I guess, but yeah, not Ayuk.
But you're like, shouldn't they pounce on one of these guys? And then they did, and they got Amari Cooper. So it is such a premium position. I think it's the second most important position in football now. And all these other teams are treating it as such. The Patriots, less so.
They've gone
in a little bit of a different direction.
And so it is just crazy. And I call me crazy, I like that model better than what the Patriots are doing.
Yep.
So how
I like both moves for both teams.
Yeah, same.
Whereas with the Patriots, I think
it was reasonable acquisition costs for both teams. A third rounder that can become a second rounder if you make the AFC title game for the Jets. Worth it. He's not going to be first or second team All-Pro.
Right.
So if they make the AFC title game, they got to part with a second round pick. That's worth it.
I think
of course that's worth it. And a third rounder for Amari Cooper for a contending team, not the Patriots, but for a contending team, I think that makes a lot of sense.
And I now think it is a must add this offseason. You need to give Drake May a real number one receiver. I'm not ignoring the offensive line. I'm with everybody. You need to get offensive linemen, specifically a left tackle, but you can get more than one thing in an offseason. They need to get him a wide receiver. I would have been Adams, my guess is, would have vetoed any kind of deal here, but I would have loved for them to call. Amari Cooper, I wouldn't have done that one. I wouldn't have given a third-round pick, which might be the first pick of the third round. I wouldn't have done that for Cooper because, yeah, he's the best guy here. But now, I think let's see what you have in Pop Douglas and Polk. You know, he'll probably be in and out of the lineup as it goes. But Booty, Baker even, let's see, give those guys the rest of the year. Then you can go into the offseason being like, all right,
Pop Douglas is a three.
And we're keeping him, and we like him for this role, but we're going to go out and get a guy. And it'll either be T. Higgins in free agency or a trade. These guys do pop up still every once in a while, and you're going to have to give up something good. You might have to give up your high second-round pick or something for it, but there'll be another contract dispute. There always is.
Yeah, or just a team might just give up. Like a receiver who's just upset with his role, because both, you're right, both Adams and Cooper, they're not on good teams. That's not why they're moving. They're both pissed about their contract.
Yeah.
Adams was pissed about it. He wanted the Raiders to guarantee his next 2 years they wouldn't. Cooper got pissed when the Browns were talking about trading for Ayuk. They were going to give him a bunch of money. He's like, well, what about my money?
Yeah.
What about me? Me, me, uh-huh.
me.
So that's it's a me position. That's fine. That doesn't even bother me. I'm just saying.
No.
There are going to be more opportunities, but you're going to have to pay for it.
Right.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of good names in free agency. Calvin Ridley was a flawed player. I would have paid him.
Yeah.
But a flawed player, I think T. Higgins is flawed. And he's probably going to be the best guy in free agency if he gets there. You might be able to trade for Jamar Chase. You might be able to trade for a guy like maybe George Pickens, who I don't think is happy in Pittsburgh.
He might be a lunatic.
But I don't.
Yeah, but yeah, you need talent.
I'm not telling you I know where the next guy's going to come from. He's going to be available, but are you willing to pay the cost? You better be, because you need to improve that receiver room and look at how teams in the division are doing it. I would way rather do it their way than your way, where you're drafting and developing, and I'm sorry, I gave you the benefit of the doubt on Jalen Polk because Bill wasn't here anymore, but he looks like the same type of receiver that you typically get in the second round, a guy who can't play.
Man.
That's what it looked through six. Yeah. I'm not closing the door on it. I'm not saying he's a bust.
No.
But that's through 6 weeks. That's what it looks like. 10 catches on 23 targets.
Yeah.
Two drops that week.
Drops.
He has 78 yards or something like that.
Doesn't know the rules
of the game.
Can't
stay in bounds. And he
cries about it.
Meanwhile, he's like, don't get on the bandwagon when we're good and the team's 1-5.
Like, don't worry, dude. No one's on there.
He's losing snaps like that. That doesn't feel good.
No, it doesn't. Now there's a ton of games left this season. Guys can kind of go up and down as it goes. But right now, when you look at the receivers, just based on what we've seen in the games, I mean, Mayo could and Van Pelt would speak to it better in practice, but he's not the one that's deserving of all the reps. It'd be the other guy, the two, three guys in front of him.
Since the Would You Rather Wednesday, I know your answer to this, Keith. Would you rather Cooper or Devontae? I know your answer is Devontae.
Devontae Adams.
Which move do you like better for the team?
Probably the Bills,
me too.
Actually, because Garrett Wilson's a stud. You already have a stud. Like, they really, that was more of a need, even though I don't think he's as good of a player. I think that elevates Allen, maybe even more than it elevates Rodgers. Just needs to, I don't know, he looks so good against the Patriots, but then maybe that speaks to the Patriots.
And he looks good for plays here and there. Like, we're talking about this, I think, off the air. His touchdown throw to Garrett Wilson the other night
he's
was
got some,
as legit as it gets.
It's still in there.
Rolling left, throwing right. But, can he do it consistently? I don't know. I like the move better for the Bills as well.
But that does seem like, because the Jets are just scrambling, and they're trying to make the playoffs, where the Bills are saying, all right, how do we beat the Ravens and the Chiefs? Like, how do we go a little bit further? And so there's more of an opportunity there, I think, with Buffalo.
617-779-7937. How do the Patriots get their receiver? Do they need a receiver? The rest of the division would tell you yes. Even the Bills and Josh Allen would tell you yes. So you can jump in there. We'll also get to Drake May. Where would you take him in the AFC among quarterbacks? It's a good exercise by John Tomasi. We'll play that out right after.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Happening with Billy Laney.
I mean, hey, yeah, indeed, Keith. Wow. That is
something really special and one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
That's Louis Riddick, ESPN.
Who's the best? Nobody does it better than Louis.
I mean, now I certainly feel that way. I had questions before I heard that clip, and now I feel that way. That was on the Next Pats podcast with
Phil
Perry.
One of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Man, that is incredible.
Hummina, 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 hummina.
That's the purge alarm. That is amazing.
I'm going to...
All right, come on.
That sounded future tense, Nick. I feel like that should be past tense.
I've got one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah, and I did.
Yeah,
I'm gonna.
One of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And listen, he's the third pick in the draft. People are very excited about this draft class. Good quarterback draft class.
I am now.
These guys are winning games every week. Not Drake May yet, but as good a time as any this Sunday.
Yeah,
he gets his first dub this Sunday.
Yeah, I feel.
International dub.
An international, although does that even count for you if he wins?
No.
If he wins in London, he's got
to
win.
Be here on
he's got to win here in this country.
U.S. soil.
Made in America.
Please.
Yeah.
When Kyle Pitts only had a touchdown in London for like 2 years.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we're bringing wins back to the United States. That's what we're doing. Wins over there don't count. But losses don't count there, though. So he could still be 0-1 on American
0-1,
soil.
Yeah,
if he loses.
But he lost to one of the few quarterbacks better than him. There's not a lot of quarterbacks better than him. He played C.J. Stroud last week.
Well,
went toe-to-toe.
Let's get to the quarterbacks that are better than him in a moment. I want to address this text. How do you feel about this, Keith?
Yeah.
37937.
Right.
You guys bitch and bitch and bitch.
Oh, bitch, bitch, bitch,
bitch, bitch, bitch. You guys bitch and bitch and bitch about May not starting.
Yeah.
Now that he is, you turn your attention. Yeah, I mean, so far, so
good.
Yeah. You turn your attention to the lack of a top wide receiver whine and cry about that. Unbelievable.
Well, to be fair to the texter, sir or ma'am, I've been bitching about the wide receivers for years.
Yeah, no, that I've
complained
even when
about
Brady was here. I was complaining about that.
Correct.
Yeah,
it's been like 20. With the exception of the Moss Welker year, I think I complained about wide receivers.
Oh, bitch, 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 bitch.
I'm pretty sure I have been consistent with that. No, I think. Well, the reason why we brought it up specifically today, it wasn't out of nowhere. The AFC East in a 12-hour period. Brought in Devontae Adams and Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
And they gave them to Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen. So we're just sort of pointing out that Drake May needs help.
And the timing is we just saw Drake May and what he did without a lot of help.
And we're about to see what next week Devontae Adams with the Jets. Right?
That's true.
That
well,
game's coming right
we're
going to
see
in
the Patriots game. I think he might play this weekend, but right.
We'll see it firsthand.
In the Patriots game. Correct.
No, but still thrilled that Drake May is playing. Thrilled with that. I think to really unlock any young quarterback, you need a stud receiver. We say it all the time, but it's true. And right now they don't have that. At the very least, though, I think they have an opportunity these next 11 games to figure out what you have in the rookie and second-year receivers that are on the team.
I don't see how that's even remotely inconsistent.
No.
We bitched until he's out there. Now he's out there.
Let's go.
And so we're not bitching about that anymore.
No, we're not.
He might need help.
That would be annoying if we were like, he should play. And they're like, he is.
We're still
but he should play more.
He should have played week one. I mean, we did say that. Nah, I mean, I guess that's
touche.
Maybe that's a little annoying text line. You win there.
Fine.
You got us there.
When you're right, you're right.
When you're right, you're right. But no, he still needs help. Just because he's now playing doesn't mean he doesn't need help.
Yeah.
And I think you saw him elevate the garbage around him last week.
Those two guys played their best games of their careers, and it's not a coincidence. It's not like, you know what they needed was week six, 2024 to get going. No, I think the quarterback had a lot to do with it.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. John's in Rhode Island. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. Blessings from my family to yours. I have a plan to fix the receiver problem.
Great.
Kind of a step A and step B. First of all, if you don't get the first overall pick, if you do get it, you should take Travis Hunter. He's a Shohei Ohtani of football. Mm-hmm. You play both ways.
I've heard that.
Lock receiver, play lockdown corner.
Love it.
If you don't get Travis Hunter, this is what you do. You go for a Satoru McMillan. He's 6'5", Devontae Smith. Jones, 6'5", Devontae Smith. Then you sign.
So that is
that's plan A.
Godwin or Deontay Johnson, who's actually a productive veteran receiver.
Okay.
No disrespect to Kendrick Bourne, but he's not that productive. Deontay or Chris Godwin is that productive veteran receiver you need, and you get to Torrey McMillan, and you ride.
Okay, so
Did he have a plan B in there? Or that was plan B?
Hunter or
McMillan.
This is what I thought the rookies were plan A, and then the veterans
got it,
B, if I interpreted that
good
correctly.
Good breakdown. Blessings to your family as well.
John Rhode Island, thank you for that. Yeah. I'm not as high on McMillan out of Arizona, but come talk to me about that. Travis Hunter, we discussed earlier in the show, he's linked to the Patriots in a mock draft today.
Yes.
Jordan Reed, ESPN.
Yes.
Patriots would be drafting second overall, not number one.
Yes.
They would get Travis Hunter.
They could get him.
Shador goes number one in that mock, which is why we talked a couple of different times about, I think you got Drake May in the right year because we don't feel as strongly about this quarterback class, but we don't need to go down that road.
Yep.
We were in the break, Keith, listing off some names. Deontay Johnson was one. I didn't think about Chris Godwin. We mentioned on the air T. Higgins. We mentioned George Pickens. DK Metcalf is one that came up. I was just reading Charles Robinson. It was good timing in the last break. Yahoo Sports. He brought up a name that I know you love.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see him becoming available. Cooper Kupp?
Cooper Kupp's insanely good. He is very underrated. He had the greatest wide receiver year in the history of the NFL, and people dismiss it.
How many years ago was that, though? And how many injuries since then?
Two or three, I would say.
Okay.
Roughly. But don't sleep on him. When he was playing this year, he was right back to where he was, and then he got...
Well, he was great for a week, yeah.
Hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt. He got hurt in week two, but he was awesome week one.
Did you see him week one?
Cooper Kupp.
He was targeted 21 times in week one.
Okay, well,
of course the guy got hurt.
He was targeted 191 times in 2021 when he was All-Pro.
Did you see what his numbers were that year?
Which was also his only All-Pro season. Yeah, he was almost 2,000 yards.
Holy mackerel.
145 catches, 1,947 yards, and where are touchdowns?
He had a bunch.
Where are they?
He had a ton of touchdowns.
Why do I see them? Oh, I'm on advanced rushing.
But doesn't it all
I'm on advanced rushing.
At all, were you that Puka Nacua had 1,500 yards and like 60 targets in the first three weeks of the season last year when Kupp wasn't playing?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, then what happened to him?
No, I'm just, well, he's hurt right now. That's what I'm saying. But though, does it all, like, McVay's system, does Kupp here come here and do the same thing?
I mean, maybe not with Alex Van Pelt. I think
it was 16 touchdowns, by the way.
16 touchdowns. Oh, he also won the Super Bowl and was Super Bowl MVP that year.
Okay, look.
The guy is a machine.
Okay, but he played 9-12-2 the last 3 years' games. 8-12, 7-37, 147 so far.
Step those games up, Cooper.
Okay, so like, I don't
play more games.
I don't love that. But if you're telling me I can get Cooper Kupp, then yeah, I'm interested.
I'm telling you that.
I'm not saying no.
Telling you right to your face.
Meanwhile,
how's his advanced rushing stats?
Yeah, I don't know. Why did that come up on Pro Football Talk?
You know what? I did the same
or
thing.
Pro Football Reference. Thank you.
I don't know. Someone's playing games.
Why did that
us.
Come up? I had to go to ESPN to find his touchdowns.
They're like, let's get rid of this. He's on IR. We don't want to have a regular
people come
site.
Here for the nicknames and the
unreal.
The advanced metrics.
Played a lot of snaps, though. I can find his snap count, but I can't find his touchdowns.
Tomasi listed the top quarterbacks in the AFC and who he would take over Drake May. There were five definites and one maybe. You ready, Keith?
Yeah, I kind of agree with this list.
Mahomes.
Yeah.
Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar.
Amtrak.
Burrow.
Okay.
Stroud.
Five best quarterbacks in the NFL, I would say.
For Keith's money, those aren't just the best quarterbacks in the AFC, best quarterbacks in the NFL. We're all taking them over Drake May. If you disagree, let us know. He is also taking Drake May over Justin Herbert.
That's the biggest debatable one. I would still go with Herbert. Herbert's
so
been in the league 4+ years. He's played with some really bad coaches. He's put up some really good numbers. He's only made the playoffs once, so that goes against him. But also, when you have a coach that goes for it on every fourth down, is getting players hurt, and he's a defensive guy and the defense sucks, like I can't put it all on Justin Herbert.
It's not the best combo, no.
He has played really bad against the Patriots, so I think a lot of Patriots fans look at him and they're like, that guy? But everybody else, he's usually pretty good against. But it's funny, as soon as you throw the names out there of all the other starters, I think if you could promise me that Tua was healthy, that's the other debate. But like, I'll take Drake May over Tua right now.
If I could pick, I can now have Tua on my team and I have no idea if he can survive a season or week to week, or I can have it's one game. But mm-hmm. I can have a potential franchise quarterback in Drake May. I'd rather Drake May. I'm with you on that. I'd take Drake May over Tua going forward.
And then Aaron Rodgers, I think, still for this season can be salvageable. But you're talking long term. It's not even a debate. He's 40, 41 years old. And most of the other teams don't love their guys. The Raiders have already played two. The Steelers are probably about to play two. The Titans have played two. The Broncos, I like Bo Nix, but I like Drake May better. The Colts have played two. the Browns are sticking with Deshaun Watson, but they probably should play two. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of teams aren't really in love with their quarterbacks as it stands. We're only 6 weeks into the season. So if you're talking about projecting forward, I mean, as the top pick should be, I think in the NFC, you would say Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels over a lot of guys, right? It's the same idea.
Would you take them both over Drake May?
I would take Caleb Williams over Drake May, and I would probably take Drake May over Jaden Daniels.
See, I think that's crazy to say, but I also feel that way. That's how I felt coming into the year.
You're crazy, and I agree with
you. No, but it's crazy to say a guy who might be rookie of the year.
Yeah.
But
no, he's awesome, but I mean, other guys have been rookie of the year.
And don't you feel like there's more upside with May?
Yeah, and I think he's more likely to be a 12-year starter in the league where he's really good for 12 years, and maybe Daniels.
Yeah, injuries. And
a little smaller, runs a lot, that kind of thing. He's very good.
Independent of injuries, I just think there's a higher ceiling for Drake May.
I also think all three can be good, right? Yeah, like, I don't think it's like two booms and a bust. Like, this could be the Burrow to a Herbert draft.
That's what I was just going to say.
Love and Hurts.
They're all good. You know, how would you take them in whatever order? They're all good. That could be the case. But I think I would still take May over Daniels. Yeah.
So to the text you're talking about Daniels before, so that was just an AFC exercise. The AFC is really kind of top loaded with those five guys. May might be the next one, or Herbert.
Who is the best quarterback in the NFC?
Great question. I think it's pretty wide open. Some would probably argue Brock Purdy.
Is it Love?
You could argue Jordan Love. You could argue Dak or Hurts. Hurts is kind of on a down year.
I wouldn't argue either of those.
Think Stafford's still up there?
No, I don't think so. Like Goff?
I wouldn't argue Goff. What about your guy Baker?
Baker Mayfield's at least in the conversation.
I think I'd go with Love, but it's not clear cut.
It might be Jaden Daniels.
It might. Okay, so if it's not Love, I probably would go to the rookies. Yeah,
people are.
I would have said Hurts 2 years ago. It's not Hurts.
People are split on Brock Purdy. I bet you'd have a good chunk of people say Brock Purdy.
Okay, interesting.
Just because they've won, he's put up pretty good numbers. But, yeah, that one's more open. Like, Daniels and even Williams. I mean, if Williams keeps going the way he's gone the last couple of weeks compared to the first couple of weeks, like, he could get on that top of that
list. Well, and he definitely has the highest ceiling out of the three that were drafted top three this year. I question Williams for other stuff. Like, you know, is he coachable? Is he a good teammate? Like, all that sort of stuff. That's more what I questioned. As did your wife. Your wife not a fan.
She's
of
out
Williams.
On Williams. She I haven't heard 5 minutes of Hard Knocks.
Haven't heard her say much these last couple of weeks.
Cuddle my dog and watch some shows.
No, she's been real quiet.
Real
on the Caleb Williams.
Real
front.
Quiet about Caleb. I haven't heard a peep out of her since Caleb Williams started heating up.
I could offer her $1 million to name what team he was on, and she wouldn't be able to do it. So
617-779-7937. We had kind of an emergency key for madness yesterday.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones skyrocketed.
Wow.
To the
very
top
topical.
Of the, yep. the urgency rankings there, the emergency rankings. And so we had another key for madness planned for yesterday. Let's get to a special emergency follow-up key for madness.
Whoa.
Next.
All right, here we go. It's time for key for madness on Jones and Keefe, WEEI. We talked Jerry Jones yesterday after he went off on those radio hosts. So we had this one planned yesterday, but we decided, you know what, let's talk about Jerry down in Dallas losing his mind.
One of those guys clapped back, by the way, and said, Jerry does not pay us, which I felt like was an interesting approach to take. Because, like, you know.
Next week you won't be on.
Yeah, right. Like, yeah, right, does he pay you directly? Maybe not, but, like, it sounds like indirectly Jerry's paying for something at that station.
It's and you definitely put him in his place when he was on, too. you were great.
Yeah.
This is an interesting story about Generation Z, Gen Z.
Okay.
And some of the applying for jobs right now.
Okay.
And we've all been through that right after high school, after college, whatever it is. You're trying to get into the old job field.
Sure.
And some interesting pointers here. This is a story from Miami, but I think it applies to everybody. So let's dive in.
The one said,
"Nope, come on."
What was
Keith? I started the middle of the thing. All right, here we go.
Okay, of course, we're parents, and we always want the best for our children. And when they become adults, we may even try to help them get a job.
Yeah, but ask his
Belichick. That make any sense to you, Bill?
Hi, Bill. Sound like anyone?
Help your kids with a job.
And when they become adults, we may even try to help them get a job.
Yeah, but as consumer reporter Miriam Masihi found, when trying to help them land their first job, some parents go overboard and end up hurting their kids' chances of getting hired.
Ooh, oh, sometimes boy. They want it too much.
Yeah.
It's like you want to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, for example.
Yep,
and you keep
sure.
lobbying everybody, you know, you keep talking their ear off.
Yeah.
You make a documentary series, you make a book, you send the book to everybody. That kind of thing.
Seems like a bit much.
If that were to happen, sometimes people are like, I don't want this.
Carmella at Georgetown with Meadow, I think, did that.
Really?
I think she was a little too aggressive with Dr. Cusimano's wife's
good point.
Sister. Yeah.
Although it
came
went the other
too strong.
And Forrest Gump kind of went the other way. If it wasn't for Sally Field doing a little you-know-what, Forrest never gets into that school.
Yeah. You ever think
your
about that one?
Sure cares about your schooling, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She sure did.
Yeah.
So I guess this one cuts both ways, actually, now that we kind of lay it out.
You know what? When you bring up the Sally Field counterpoint, that's a good point.
Yeah.
How do you argue with that one?
She did just enough, evidently, as it turns out.
Some parents go overboard and end up hurting their kids' chances of getting hired.
They finish school, and now many young adults in the Gen Z generation, ages 18 to 27, are looking for their first job.
We're seeing two applicants for every job on LinkedIn available right now.
I like how they have to add a little. That's a keyboard.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
a mechanical keyboard.
That's right. That's somebody like, going we need, on to LinkedIn.
We need B-roll of somebody hammering away at a keyboard there.
What does it sound like to apply for a job? Oh, got it. Okay, good. Now I can wrap my head around what it's like.
Francisco Tobon is a career expert with LinkedIn. We asked him about a recent survey from Resume Templates that asked 1,400 U.S.-based Gen Zers who looked for a job within the past year about their parent involvement. It found 70% of them asked their parents for help in the job search process.
70% want a little help from their parents in the old job search.
I'm going to be honest. I don't have any problem with asking for help, meaning
hey, can you
give me some feedback on the resume? And like, what is that what it means? Or is it like,
I don't know.
Can you reach out to this thing and get me a job? Like, I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
But if you're asking for like feedback on your resume, if that's what that means, that's not
okay.
A bad thing.
Hey, Dad, can I be a CEO at your company? He's like, I don't have a company. Like, what, you know that
Could
I don't
you get
own
one,
a-
though?
Why don't you own a team? Yeah. If you owned a team, like a pro sports team, I could work
I
for
could
you.
Really work in professional sports
I
if you just owned
that.
A sports team.
I love
Dad.
Sports.
Yeah.
If you worked in sports, I could do that with you. I don't do that. So leave me alone.
Yeah.
And 25% say they've brought their parents to interviews.
That's a high figure.
That's aggressive. So one out of four of these idiots brought their parent or parents to the interview. What are they supposed to do? What do you do? So you show up.
Shoulder massage. You know, something like that.
Let me talk about my kid.
Yeah.
Like imagine even simply having your parent as like a letter of recommendation is outrageous.
Yeah, it's true.
Let alone them showing up to the interview.
Yeah.
This is like I can help you with the Pan Pam situation. They don't say a word, then they like peer over. Actually, my son's very good at this. That seems outrageous. And 25% of people brought them to the interview.
That's insane. So what does that mean? Like you can't drive?
So
does that mean
no,
like
no? But I don't think it meant
drive?
Like dropped them off. I think it meant like they were in the office.
No,
with
me
them.
Too. But I'm saying like if the parents there, did they drive them? Probably.
Probably.
Like it probably speaks to like a lack of.
You think they chewed their food and spit it in their mouth?
I was
going
to say like, hey mom, can you chew my Dunkaroos for me?
Look at
like
this.
What? Like what do you need?
Congrats on the text line. 22-year-old found my own job all by myself. Congrats.
Wow.
Like that.
Wow. That's a low bar. I feel like we're talking about the Patriots now. We're happy they lost by 20.
Nick, how'd you get this job? Were your parents at the interview?
I emailed Rossi, and he said, come in on this day. I had a nice shirt and a resume.
He said, hey, mom.
He said, go learn from John in the other room and keep showing up again.
Look
I don't
that.
Think I interviewed.
I don't know if any of those things is the way to go. He emailed Rossi, mistake. Learn from Anderson, bigger mistake.
Bigger mistake,
and now look at him. Yeah. He somehow made it out of there.
Wow.
It only took 7 years, but we did it.
Hey, you
Mom,
did it.
Mom made it.
Saved him. Lady came in.
Yep.
Cleared it up for him.
That's true.
First,
it was all
like,
Billy.
The thing said their first job between 18 and 27. I feel like 18 is a little late for your first job.
Well, it's
yeah,
true.
Your first, like, any old, kind of job.
I was getting demoted from busboy to dishwasher when I was, like, 14. So, yeah, 18 is late for your first job.
I was
packing
cigarettes in the warehouse. We did. Somebody had a
Is that your first job?
That was like my first like
cigarette
real like,
packer?
Like real kind of like real job probably.
You put that on the resume when you applied?
I was a cigarette selector at McLean's warehouse.
Yeah, I'm
there was
saying.
A whole bunch of different things. Yeah, that was
when
on
you
the
applied
probably.
To GAM. That was on the resume.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably all that was on the resume. It's like, yeah, I did some coaching clinics that I did.
Maybe if you brought your parents to the Best Buy gig, you would have gotten the job.
I did not get the Best Buy gig. My parents had nothing to do with it, but maybe that was my mistake.
Didn't bring my folks to my Best Buy interview, but I did land
the
gig. Yeah,
man.
Yeah. In your face.
Know. Yeah.
Face
Something
key.
Experts don't recommend.
Oh, is that right? The experts don't recommend.
Don't bring your mom and dad.
Don't bring your mom and dad. You might be thinking about it.
That's a no.
Don't do it.
You might want to bring your mom's and your dad's. Don't do that.
No. Say they've brought their parents to interviews. Something experts don't recommend.
It could be looked at as unprofessional.
Could it?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
Interesting.
Your mommy's
could
here.
Be.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. My kid's perfect for this job. I'm telling you, he's absolutely perfect for it. It's like, oh, is that right?
Yeah,
is that right?
Little Johnny, have you gone potty yet? Is it time to go potty?
That is, it's wild.
Did you remember to have your snack?
Do you have to make a poop?
Lack of credibility. It could be seen as the person is not independent.
I would agree.
Person is not taking initiative for their own career, for their own professional journey.
Uh-huh.
DeBone says you can be a resource for your children during this process without taking away their independence.
Helping them with interviews.
Nice.
Helping them rehearse.
Hey, play a little
mock interview.
Yeah. Why do you want this job, little Timmy?
I'd like money.
Great.
Okay. Hired. Work on that.
You're hired.
Yeah. Maybe you kind of game that one out. Yeah.
Give me three strengths about yourself.
Well, I'm going to have to get back to you on that one.
Well,
so then you work on that. You kind of game that out.
I work too hard.
Yeah.
I try. I care too much. And you got to throw me out of the office at night.
Yeah.
Magnum Dom.
Alpha male. Jackhammer.
Yeah.
actually, you notice that my weaknesses are also strengths.
Yeah.
Like, okay, great.
So, yeah, but you could game that out with your kid. Okay, that's a good one.
Hash it out.
Yeah, I found this scholarship opportunity that you can apply to.
He says parents can also help review their child's resume or job application, careful not to go overboard. In the survey, 16% of Gen Zers said their parents submitted job applications for them.
Parents can send them a job and encourage them to apply. They can also sit down with them and review an application and build it out together, right? Like, collaborate on it.
Yes.
I wouldn't have them apply because they're not going to be the ones that are going to be sitting in the hot seat interviewing for that job.
Or will they? 25% say they'd be there. Right there. Yeah.
Great point on the text line. I would love to hear from somebody who was hiring somebody that had the parents sit in on the interview. And what do you do? Do you ignore them? Do you ask them questions?
Do you
want
to open up the lines for that?
I'd be curious if anybody has tried. I guess also if you brought your parent, or you were the parent that you brought your kid, but more so on the hiring
process. Okay, fine. There's got to be a lot of business people who listen to this show.
I think mostly business people.
I would think a lot of small business owners out there say, Jones and Keefe is the show for me. And so, you're a small business owner. You've had some interesting hiring experiences.
I mean, I am curious.
Namely, a parent's involvement. Phone lines are open. 617-779-7937. We'll, of course, take your text, 37937. Jump in the Twitch chat.
Did you end up hiring the parent instead of the kid?
Yeah,
you're actually pretty impressive.
Yeah, what was the De Niro movie?
Heat.
The grandpa. Is that what it was?
Dirty Grandpa.
Was that where it was? Where he was like applying for jobs at Google and he was like a Google intern?
Oh, the internship?
Is that what it was?
I think you're thinking.
That's Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn and the intern.
I think it's the intern.
Am I mixing up my
Hathaway?
Yeah. I think you're thinking of Dirty Grandpa.
I was thinking of Dirty Grandpa.
Zac Efron?
How did I mix that up with
Raging Bull's a good one?
The intern.
Raging Bull's a good one.
It was Deer Hunter.
Taxi driver.
Good scene where he brought his dad to interview.
Yeah. It's a long movie.
Yeah.
Deer Hunter, long. Intense, for sure. Put Christopher Walken on the map.
So not Dirty Grandpa. The intern is exactly what I was
thinking. You're
thinking
of the intern.
Yes.
Could be like that.
But yeah, your hiring experiences, we'll take them. 617-779-7937. Yeah, I can imagine asking a parent for feedback on your resume.
Sure.
Not bringing them. Not doing my resume for me. Not applying to a position for me.
No, I feel like it doesn't.
Although maybe I would have done better if they did.
Maybe.
You ever think about that, Keith? Like maybe we'd be in a different place in life.
I'd be a doctor. I should have followed my dreams.
Be a lawyer if my parents just applied for me.
Damn it.
Maybe part of what held me back was me.
Yep.
I would imagine
most
of what held me back was me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's an emergency key for madness.
That's right.
Here on Jones and Keefe. Parents.
At the interviews.
Doing the 25%. Work for their children. That's a high number.
It's not like this happened once. It was one out of four people.
I would have guessed like not even 5%. Never mind 25%.
Maybe like a one.
Yeah, maybe it happened like one time.
Right.
You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
We're
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.